This is Navigating Conflict Telecourse on NVC Academy with Jim and Jory Mansky.
The focus of today's class is our reactions to conflict. Become more aware about that.
Each of the classes that we do will probably have some common elements, some strategies that really seem to be effective for supporting connection and learning. Each class will have some kind of a self-connection exercise as part of it to help us get present and grounded and get clear on our purpose in being on the call. We almost always will have some kind of breakout group practice to give people the experience that they'd like to have in practicing these skills that we'll be sharing with you. And we'll also have a lesson of various forms where we're trying to get across some basic ideas about the skills. It might be some concepts, it might be some practices, and so forth. There'll be a chance for questions and answers every week, a chance to hear from you to find out what's important to you, what's working for you, what's not working for you, so that we can make mid-course adjustments. And we will provide you with some practices and handouts as well at the conclusion of each class. Practices are things that we encourage you to do every day during the course, not just on the day that the class starts, but to really support your integration and deepen your learning. These practices are designed to just take a few minutes every day to connect with your growing skill in these areas. And I think that's everything I wanted to say about the overview. Okay.
In this moment, what I'd like to do is invite you into a presence exercise. In fact, one of the things that becomes really challenging about conflict is that we lose our presence. We get emotionally hijacked and lose the presence. And what I notice also, why we like to start with a presence exercise, is it's just so much more fun to be with people when they're really here. So much more fun for me, how much more alive it is when we get right here, right now. So if you're willing to put aside whatever is in front of you and to turn your attention inward to your direct experience, and that's what I'll be leading you into. And it starts actually by putting your attention on your eyes, just to notice what you see. Be connected to, if you do have the gift of sight, the capacity to see what's around you. Notice that you have some thoughts about that, and just to be aware that it's different to think about what you see than to actually see. Then, if you will, to shift your attention to the sounds impinging on your ear. And again, just to notice if thoughts do arise, just to label them thinking, notice them, and just to bring yourself right into this moment of listening. Then to shift your attention, if you will, to the physical sensations wherever your body is contacting something else through gravity. Your feet, maybe bottom on a seat. Notice what that feels like. You may also notice what it's like to shift your focus. Capacity to do that. And paying attention to the pressure body, where gravity pulls you, holds you. And notice that you might have some thoughts about that. That's really interesting. What's that about? Or I wonder what that means. And whatever the thoughts are, I don't like how that feels, whatever that is, just to notice that thinking and then also just notice the difference as you refocus on those physical sensations. As you focus on those physical sensations, shift your attention to the experience in the core of your body, in other words, in the trunk of your body, your stomach and your chest. Notice kind of movement or stillness, or a sense of relaxation. Inner comfort, and to see what those physical sensations might be telling you about your emotional state. Notice any emotions. Notice whether those emotional reactions are telling you that things are going well. Maybe it's some sort of comfort or ease in your body, or whether you notice maybe some tension that's indicating to you that something is calling for attention. Either way, notice what those feelings are telling you about what really matters right now. Need may be part of that feeling. You sit with what really matters to you. Whatever it is for you right in this moment, acknowledge that. Why did I choose this class and what would I like? Then if you will, just extend out your attention, sort of like expanding a balloon. Let it widen. Each of us has had our own unique experience. Open with some sense of curiosity and maybe even some openness to empathy for whatever it is right now for all of us. Let's take a minute for you to write down anything that seems significant about this exercise. Just, take a note. You.
Okay, so the lesson today is about this kind of opening round about navigating conflict and exploring conflict. I really enjoyed how some folks were checking in with the kind of the pervasive nature of conflict in our lives. I remember when I first took a mediation class, the first instructor said something like, conflict is natural. And I thought, well, maybe for you it's natural, but for me it's something that I'm allergic to, and I sure would like to figure out a way to change my allergy to conflict. And the instructor also said something like, conflict is all around us. In fact, we swim in a sea of conflict. And I began to open my eyes to the presence of conflict in so many different areas. Not only, are we bombarded by stories in the media and so forth about conflict, but if we watch our lives, we see how quickly conflict can erupt between us and the people we love the most, or between people we don't even know, or between us and folks we don't know, and all kinds of different places conflict can emerge, including inside our own heads. Sometimes we have an internal conflict. And the skills that we'll be building over the next few weeks will be, we hope, useful for dealing with all kinds of those conflicts. We'll be focusing primarily on informal conflict resolution, building these skills to help you facilitate connection in the midst of personal conflicts, maybe at work or around the Thanksgiving table that'll be coming up soon, or kids' birthday parties, or wherever people are, conflict is probably not far behind. And so we'll be working with various skills that you can employ to work with those conflicts. And for me, I really like that we started with this presence exercise, because cultivating a sense of presence in the face of conflict is a really important skill. And the exercise we're about to dive into will be a test of your presence and what you can stay present to, and to encourage you to just watch your own body's reactions to the exercise as we go through it. So it begins by first, let me just say that I'm going to ask you to move your body. So if you can move your body and stand up in just a moment, that'd be great. If there's a way that you can stand up to do the exercise, it might, getting that kinesthetic learning can really enhance your self-connection. So if you are able to stand up, go ahead and hang onto the phone or whatever you need to do. Go ahead and do that now. And if you're not able to do that, that's also fine, because you just follow along on the instructions in your mind's eye. Also works just as well. First, just notice how your body feels as you anticipate the beginning of some unknown exercise. We're entering into uncertainty. I know exactly what's going to happen, what's going to be said, but you don't. You have no idea what I'm about to ask you to do. How do you feel when you notice that? Notice any physical sensations or emotions in your body as you confront the unknown here. Get a baseline. Your body feels any physical sensations or emotions that are present in you, especially in the core of your body. And consider if those feelings are telling you that something's important to you. It's important to pay attention to those feelings. They are a source of great information, and we'll be using it as we talk about this exercise. So what's your body telling you is important to you right now? Answer that question for yourself. Then see if there's any requests up for you that you'd like to make of yourself as you go through the exercise. Maybe a request would be to be gentle with yourself. Maybe a request to just be open. You can learn. If there's something up for you that you'd like to ask of yourself. Then just bring your attention to your breath for a moment as you're standing there. Notice how your feet are grounded on the floor or wherever you are. You're connected to the earth. Gravity is working. One thing's certain here. Enough air for you to breathe. Gravity's working. Sometimes in conflict, those are the only two things that I can rely on. Gravity's still working, and I can still take a breath. I'd like you to call to mind a recent conflict that you had. Something that happened at work or while you were driving or in your family life. And don't pick a real big major conflict that involved having to call in the army or something like that, but just sort of the normal everyday conflicts that happen. Maybe it's a conflict that you were involved in, or maybe it's just a conflict that you observed. Either one works. Notice how you feel as you become present to that conflict. Notice any reactions in your body. And as that conflict just continues to unfold in front of you, take a step back. Literally take a step back. And again, tune into your body and notice how it feels now, having taken a step back. You feel different, maybe you feel the same. Just notice what it's like for you, having taken a step back. Just imagine that conflict continues in front of you, or like you're just able to stay in observation with it. And cultivate a sense of curiosity about the conflict as you lean forward, and literally lean your whole body forward toward the conflict. Notice how your body feels as you get curious about the conflict and lean forward. Again, pay special attention to the core of your body, your belly, your chest, your throat. As the conflict continues to unfold, you're staying connected and present to your own feelings. consider what are your feelings telling you right now as you lean forward about what's important to conflict. Focusing first on what's important to you. Then turning your attention to the other person or people involved in the conflict. What do you guess is important to them? And then imagine that an intuition begins to grow inside of you of something that you might be able to do in relationship to this conflict. Your intuition is telling you that you could take a step. You don't have to know what the step is, but just imagine that you are ready to take a step toward the conflict. And literally do that, one step forward, and again notice what happens in your body as you take that step. What reaction do you notice? Move closer to the conflict. And then just imagine that the conflict kind of dissolves. You realize it's just an exercise. You've been guiding through an exercise. So just kind of let it go. Drop the project for now. Notice there your feet are touching the ground. You can shake it off if you want to. Shake your body a little bit. Think about your favorite fruit you really enjoy doing, tasting, smelling, something that's really enjoyable for you. And then come back to presence right here and right now. Think back. What did you notice about the whole exercise for yourself? And see if you want to highlight anything for yourself and write yourself a note about anything, and we'll go through a debrief process in about 30 seconds or so, but we'll give you a little bit of time for some self-reflection and some writing if you would like. So this exercise usually illuminates some things for people who do it, and we'd like to find out what you learned about yourself during the exercise. And so I'm going to be asking a series of questions about your reactions to the various parts of the conflict, and I'll go through and remind you of each of the four pieces, and we'll tell you about what those pieces mean as we continue through the lesson. So remembering at first that we began with a little bit of self-connection, this kind of preparation work to get ready for conflict. That's an important step for me when you know that you're going to be confronting a conflictual situation, that you can do some self-care before you enter into the conflict. So if you find yourself about to have a meeting with somebody and you know it could be conflictual, or if you are going to be playing the role of mediator for a couple of other people in conflict, you can do some of the work necessary to prepare yourself for being more present for the conflict by just doing some self-care. It might look like self-empathy. It might look like making sure your basic needs have been attended to before you enter into the conflict zone so that you're well-fed, well-rested, have enough access to water, and that it's a safe place to do the work, that you won't be interrupted and so forth. So you can just kind of take care of the requirements that can support conflict resolution to happen. Of course, that's not always the case. Sometimes conflict just erupts and you don't have any time to prepare. And with growing self-empathy skills, you can get reconnected to what's important to you pretty quickly and do any necessary preparation work before you open your mouth. So that's one of the benefits of extended practice, is you begin to have more choice when conflict suddenly erupts. So now going back to the exercise, when I said a conflict is erupting in front of you, I'd like to hear from everybody. I'd like to go through and listen to everybody about what you noticed in your body when I said there's a conflict in front of you. I'll start with John and then go to Susan. And if there's nothing that you'd like to say, you're free to always just say pass and we'll just skip over you. So, John, what did you notice in your own body when I said there's a conflict in front of you? Did you have any kind of a reaction?
Kind of a tightness in my chest, and I found myself kind of holding my breath, tightening my jaw. I felt like I was steeling myself to deal with whatever was coming.
Okay, great. So you noticed some physical sensations. That's really great to notice that. Thanks, John. Okay, let's go to Susan next. Susan, what did you notice when I said there's a conflict erupting in front of you?
I have a recurring point that is to the right, diagonally ranges down from my diagonal from my belly button. That gets very, very tense.
Yeah, so you really have a very specific clue that your body mm-hmm. lets you know when you're in the presence of conflict.
Yes, or feeling upset.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go to Terry next, and then Samaya.
I immediately felt dread and heaviness, and, emotionally wanted to exit.
Yeah, emotionally wanting to exit, and a sense of dread. Wow, yeah. Thanks, Terry. Samaya.
Hey. Noticed a hardening of my physical exterior and armoring around the front and the back of my torso. And I felt a little bit of that, like, heels in the dirt, like, I don't want to go there.
Heels in the dirt, I don't want to go there. I love that. Thanks. Anything else, Samaya?
Yeah, just, I think reluctance and protection.
Reluctance and protection. Thank you. All right, so I want to just highlight some of the reactions that I heard. We'll begin to build a map of some of these reactions as we go through, that often when conflict occurs, the reaction that we human beings have is to freeze. We don't know what to do. We actually just kind of feel anchored in place. There's a sense of paralysis, maybe a sense of a blank mind. We don't know what to do. We're just, it's almost like we go, my experience in my body is I'm wishing I had a cloak of invisibility, that if I'm just still enough and just frozen enough, nobody will, maybe the conflict will go away. And that's certainly one of my own personal deep reactions to conflict. I'm, in spite of being a mediator, since 1993, when conflict suddenly erupts, I'd notice this deep reaction in me to just freeze. And I've learned now, as I've worked with conflict for all these years, that this initial reaction that we have probably won't ever go away. Maybe it will someday, but I don't have any expectation that NVC or any other kind of training is going to stop our bodies from doing these initial reactions like freezing. So I'm learning to accept whatever that reaction is, and then part of what we'll be learning in this class is how to respond to those reactions rather than to react to the reaction. And what I mean by that will become clearer hopefully by even the end of today's class. Another reaction that I heard people express is I wanted to move away, or that I actually did move away. You imagined moving away from the conflict, and this is flight. This is this deep flight response that is inside of us, where we want to use geography to put as much distance between ourselves and the source of the conflict as possible. And as my first judo instructor taught me, that's a perfectly rational and wonderful response to conflict, reaction to conflict, that even if you're a super-duper multicolored black belt in whatever martial art you can think of, the guy that you confront might know a little bit more than you do about fighting. And so turning 180 degrees and putting one foot in front of the other as rapidly as possible, fleeing the scene in order to be able to come back to another day, is also deep inside of us. So those are the first two reactions that I heard people highlight so far. Now let's continue the exploration. Then the next thing that we ask you to do is to take a step back from the conflict. The conflict was unfolding in front of you. You noticed your own reaction to it. And then we encourage you to take a step back. I'll go back through the list in reverse order this time to hear if you noticed anything different when you took the step back, starting with Samaya and then going to Terry. Samaya, did you notice anything when you took a step back?
Yeah, I noticed the experience of space, which made me feel safe.
Great, thanks. Space. Terry.
Relief and kind of a vantage point, a distance where I could look at it clearer, more clearly.
Great. Got some perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thanks. Susan and then John?
Back to the gut again. Just a much lighter feeling. The heaviness and the throbbing was not as keen. It was lighter and felt better.
So a sense of relief emerged for you.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks. John?
I had a sense of relief, too. I kind of let out a sigh when I said that. Just a little relief. And I actually had a sense of being able to see myself from the outside, observing myself as part of the situation, rather than feeling like I was right there in the thick of it.
Yeah, great. So it activated your own skill of observing. Great. Thanks, John. And so that is the point of this particular part of the process that we're playing with here, is we're actually utilizing this deep reaction inside of us to flee, but we're taking some responsibility to employ that energy of fleeing by consciously taking a step away from the conflict. And the result of this, neurobiologically, is that it engages the cerebral cortex of our brain, this part of the brain that makes us human, and disengages us somewhat from the limbic system, this more reptilian part of our brain. So by taking a step back but keeping our eyes open, we actually engage a part of our brain and heart that gives us more access to the skill of observing, the skill of perspective building, and engaging the executive functions that our brain has evolved over the years. And in mediation, a mediator basically takes that role on for himself or herself, as well as for the conflictants. That because we're coming in as a third sider, we can employ the use of going to the balcony, in the words of William Ury, to help conflictants, including ourselves, to gain more perspective about what really matters in the conflict. I'll just pause here again, and Jory, see if there's anything you wanted to add.
I don't think most people are here in terms of being a mediator, but we're using those same skills to actually function in the conflicts that just erupt in our lives. And these skills are very, very helpful. This is the avenue we came into NVC with, and it's very helpful to imagine that we are a third sider, even in our own conflicts.
So let's go to the next step. The next thing we encouraged you to do was to lean forward into the conflict, to lean forward toward the conflict. This goes against the grain that we often culturally have in the face of conflict. So let's find out what it was like when you leaned forward with some curiosity toward the conflict, John.
I had a little bit of the tightening in my chest again as I moved closer to it, but I felt a little more grounded, if that makes any sense. In the sense, I was still observing it while I was participating in it, the sense of having a broader view, I would say.
Great. Thanks, John. We'll go to Susan next.
I was more aware of the curiosity that you had suggested. I felt like I was watching it like a bird, as opposed to enmeshed in it and involved in it.
So really, you had a felt sense of what it was like to touch that curiosity as you leaned forward.
Yes.
Great, thanks. Sumaya.
It brought in a sense of objectivity, like, what's really happening here?
So you're able to kind of hang on to that objective observer space, even as you opened yourself to wonder what's going on here.
Well, I think as I began to wonder, it brought in more of the objectivity.
It fed the objectivity. The wonder fed the objectivity for you.
Yes, and sort of did a little bit more of that pulling the plug on the reptilian. The curiosity added to the ability to see it with a higher mind.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. So this particular step actually relates to another potential reaction that you might have experienced either in yourself or in others in conflict, and that's a reaction called posturing. You probably have seen nature videos when two animals aren't exactly fighting, but they're actually puffing themselves up in order to intimidate their opponent. And so they make their chests big, they roar like a lion, they try to make their bodies bigger, their voices bigger. And human beings do this too. We posture a lot in conflict. A lot of what we label as aggressive in ourselves or in others is actually this posturing kind of activity. And it happens even by the way we dress. Some folks dress in a way that might have the intention of intimidating others to really highlight a power imbalance. And the whole goal of all these posturing behaviors in the animal kingdom and in the human kingdom are to get the other person to freeze or flee. And so we use loud voices and we use big body language and we use aggressive movement towards the conflict to actually hopefully stimulate fear in the others so that the conflict will actually resolve without violence. So this particular part of the exercise uses that same reactive energy that's deep in us to stay engaged with that cerebral cortex, with the human part of our brain, by engaging curiosity, by engaging wonder, even as we lean forward, which is kind of an aggressive way to think about things. If you're in the midst of conflict and somebody's leaning towards you, it could be perceived as aggression. And so we want to just notice that that could be the reaction that happens for others. But even as we are doing it consciously with a sense of curiosity to try to figure out what's going on here, that's the question in my mind as I enter into a conflict zone. What's going on here? Who needs what right now? That's the question that's driving my curiosity. Who needs what right now? And luckily, that's the question NVC was designed to answer. Who needs what right now? And as I ask the question and engage my heart in my NVC skill set, now I'm ready to receive some information about what the needs of the various conflictants in the process might be, including my own. So I'm just going to pause here and see if there's any questions or comments from anybody. Susan, your microphone is live. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if it's a question, but it was funny how I got an immediate answer that my daughter needed to be left alone and I needed peacefulness and not arguing.
Yeah.
And how my head overruled everything and just barged ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm following you, even though you intuitively made some guesses about what your needs were and what your daughter's needs were, you still kind of carried through with your emotional reactivity.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it. And this is a really important piece, that once we are triggered in a conflict situation, especially when we're, I'll just use the adjective severely, when we're severely triggered, the reaction in our body can be so strong that our cerebral cortex is actually hijacked. The psychologist Daniel Goleman calls it being emotionally hijacked. And we're thinking with our reptilian brain, kind of overlaid against our more compassionate and cognitive faculties in our cerebral cortex, and sometimes we don't wake up until a little bit later in the conflict that we might have had some other choices. That's part of what we'll be working with, is noticing these triggers and finding some interventions to change the pattern, to break the pattern, and we'll be working on that pretty much with every lesson that we do over the next 6 weeks. So anything else for anybody before we go on to this last piece?
What the focus will also be is, what are the choices we actually do have that can affect the connection, not only to ourselves, but to the other?
So that's the posturing piece. That's utilizing this deep reactive pattern around posturing and transforming it into curiosity about who needs what right now. The last thing in the exercise was we said something like, imagine that your intuition guides you to move into the conflict, to take a step toward the conflict, and that you actually do take a step toward the conflict. What happened for you when you engaged with the conflict? We'll go to Susan next and then John.
I'm not sure whether I recognized my daughter's needs and my own first or whether I felt the grounding first. It probably happened simultaneously. I would love your thoughts on that. But when we stepped back, I felt grounded and okay. I think it was because I did recognize the needs.
Yeah, so the focus of your consciousness, the focus on your heart of the need actually had a grounding effect for you.
Yes.
Great information. Go to John next and then Samaya.
I think I felt a little bit more safer, you know, and calmer, less likely to react and ready to respond, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. What I'm taking away from what you said is the inner work that you've done kind of in the interim and also maybe even during the process of noticing the conflict, stepping back, leaning forward, all was preparation for you to feel safer as you actually stepped into the conflict and tried to work with it.
Exactly.
Great. All right. Thank you. That demonstrates the process perfectly for me. Thank you very much. Go to Samaya and then finish with Terry.
I thought I heard you say, notice what's happening. And when I did that time, I had two very strong experiences. One is, both of these hearts are hurting. The other one was, what both people really want is love.
So you became aware of two layers as you placed your empathic attention on the other two people. First, you just acknowledged the pain, the hurt that they were likely to be feeling. And second, you were able to unpeel your empathy to really get connected at the need level as they were both needing love. Barry, anything you want to say about taking that step forward?
Some ways forward were immediately evident to me, but I also experienced that I still have residual reptilian brain at work here, so I think I need to kind of, this was the conflict that happened earlier today, so I'm just going to let it settle overnight, even though I had some notions about what to do.
Great. So you're still you're carrying the curiosity forward for more inner work as the evening progresses.
Indeed.
Yeah, cool. Great, thanks. This particular step of the process, this taking a step forward, once you're connected to the needs and your intuition is guiding you, is a life-serving version of the other reactive pattern, the one that's missing so far. We started talking about freezing. I went to fleeing, then posturing. Of course, the last reactive pattern is fighting. And when we talk about fighting, we mean actually coming to blows, the aggressive, violent kind of behavior that is actually physical violence or emotional violence where your intention is to punish or harm the other person. That's what fighting is. When you think of our ancestors, we fought when the only thing that we could think of in the moment, it really wasn't a thought, it was a kind of a reaction, we had the sense that if we're going to survive, the other party can't. And so we have to do everything we can to at least disable the other party so they can stop attacking us. And often that would lead to the death of our opponent. And since our ancestors are the ones that survived, we're the progeny, you know, we're the offspring of the ones who were really good at fighting and killing and posturing and freezing and fleeing. So all four of those are deep in us because of the success of our ancestors. They all lived long enough at least to procreate. So we're transforming that aggressive, violent energy into a life-serving mode when we connect to the need. And then from that need and that need consciousness, we consider what's one step I could take in the service of life in the presence of this conflict. And there's, of course, a million things that might serve. A million different strategies might contribute to the needs that are identified. But they break down into three general categories. We can stay in self-connection and consider the needs that are present in ourselves. We can extend our empathy to the other person or other people involved. So we might either say our empathy out loud, or we might just stay connected in an empathic way for the moment, or our intuition may guide us to speak up our honesty and then to end on a clear and present request. So those are three things you can always do as a first step to enter into the conflict, is you can stay self-connected, you can offer empathy to the other people involved, either verbally or silently, or you can speak your authenticity. Done with that. Jory, anything you want to add at this point?
Knowing these different reactions is really important for us to be aware of before we move forward. And just being able to label something sometimes is enough for us to actually make another choice and not get stuck. So we do this process in preparation of how we might engage and also to build the resources to be able to engage in the conflict. That's the real purpose of us being very aware of what is going on inside of us, and also to realize how really human that is. Most important parts of this is to give ourselves permission to have whatever reaction we're having. If we can give ourselves permission, we would be resisting what's actually happening anyway, and is a natural reptilian response that has enabled us to survive. So we give ourselves permission to have whatever those initial reactions are, and then we use them as a strength, move forward and actually engage. So once we've given ourselves permission to have these reactions, then we can learn different strategies for how we can actually get needs met, how we can knit a process of connection and work together in something mutually satisfying. And I'm wondering if maybe we still have some time for people to break up into groups here.
I think so. We could do that. One group of three and one group of two, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And just take a few minutes and have an opportunity just to be heard. This could be very, very stimulating for everybody.
Okay, so we'll do this exercise. We'll have about 5 minutes apiece. And in this period of time, the idea, there'll be a speaker and a listener. The speaker, your job is basically to express whatever's coming up for you about the lesson so far, about what you learned from the exercise, any reactions that you're having to this information, and so forth. And then the listener, your job is just to listen silently with presence, to notice your own reactions to anything that might be coming up as you listen to the other person, but to just be there with as much empathy, silent empathy, as you can. All right, so we'll go ahead. All right, thank you all so much. Jory, I'm going to actually turn it over to you now to do the last couple of pieces.
So my first question is, I just want to know if there are any hanging questions right now about anything we've covered, anyone unclear and something in the way in relationship to what we've shared. Yes, Sumaya?
I guess I'm a little confused about the idea that we learn new strategies to work through our conflicts, and these four or five positions, or almost like movement on a checkerboard, the places that we placed ourselves, walking through, visualizing of the conflict before the conflict, connecting, seeing yourself in the conflict, taking a step back, leaning forward, and the curiosity. So I'm not really clear. Are these five strategies that we have a choice to incorporate when we find ourselves in the conflict, or are these just to study our own patterns within a conflict?
So these are actually the strategies that we're choosing, or actually that are choosing us almost, because our brains are hardwired to have them. So
these are the steps.
Well, actually, you noticed along the way, probably right in the beginning, that you had a particular reaction. You know, your first, in that moment when you saw conflict in front of you, there was a particular reaction. Those are the reactions we tend to get stuck in.
Okay.
So we want to build in more resources. We want to use those reactions and transform them into the strength that they actually are.
Yes.
And we'll be giving you a handout that will make that a little clearer.
Okay.
And we'll also be working on building in more choice.
Okay,
so
good.
That may be the first reaction, make that a strength, and then what will be the next reactions we have. And this week we'll be mostly focusing on being aware of that reaction, because that is how we become present. That's how we wake up, by being able to see whether we're in fight, flight, freeze, or posture, puffing ourselves up. John, you have a question?
This process all seems to happen in a matter of a few seconds in my body. What I need to do, or what I'm trying to do, is to take the time to breathe and to kind of break it down, because I have a tendency to jump from the beginning to the end, just to kind of slow it down internally and take time to realize what's going on, just a little bit more self-awareness.
That's a step back. That's what we're going to practice this week, is just the noticing, stepping back and noticing. So the practices for this week is for us to be watching our reactions to conflict. So we invite you to actually get curious about your reactions and give yourself permission to have them. Maybe even set yourself up with that intention for this week to get curious and notice what's going on and give ourselves permission. And then so when a conflict does arise in front of us, we first of all want to notice that it's a moment of conflict, so we don't just get swept into it like we often do. So, conflict, and then step back and identify that reaction. A handout that actually points to these four different reactions. And then again, in that moment when you notice that the conflict has arisen, not only notice that reaction, but give yourself permission to have had that reaction. And again, this is about being able to become present in the conflict. So that's the first practice. And then the second practice opportunity is to create a reaction journal, the conflict journal. So create a conflict journal. So you remember your moments of conflict in the last 24 hours, if you're willing to do this every day. You know, pick a time, maybe at the end of a day, or some people prefer to do it in the morning when they wake up, about the day before or halfway through. So just remember the moments of conflict in the last 24 hours, and then to write down what your reaction was. And then also write down the observation of what happened just before you acted. What did you see or hear, or could be smell, taste, or touch, but really literally, what did your senses, what was the information your senses took in just before you went into that natural reaction, that reptilian brain reaction? Those are the practice opportunities, and they are just that, they're opportunities, and we do find that if you are willing to pay attention on a regular basis, it's kind of like an immersion in awareness of yourself and an opportunity to start to shift and add new resources. So you might enjoy, instead of having a journal or in addition to that, having a practice buddy during the week, someone where you have the time where you can listen to each other and practice being present while someone self-connects and have the opportunity to self-connect in the presence of somebody else. And now we have an opportunity to do a checkout, just go full circle. And what I'd love to hear is how you feel right now, and the right now would be actually when you are checking out. Just, you know, what's the feeling tone? Got a fair amount of stimulation. To state what you feel in that moment, and then what are you taking away from this, and what would you like to do with it this week? your nugget. So we'll go ahead and do the checkout starting with Sumaya and then Terry. So, Sumaya, what are you feeling right in this moment, having had this class, just in this moment? What's the feeling tone for you? And then what are you taking away from the class? And what do you want to do about it?
In this moment, I'm feeling some peace and a deeper sense of self-connection. And I feel excited anticipation about this. It feels fruitful for me. I guess hope. My takeaway is to do my homework. I think it will be really helpful to really put to practice what we learned here about really trying to pay attention and notice those things that you talked about. And then what I want to do, I want to really do the homework, to just really start to study myself in conflict so that I have more choices.
We'll go to Terry.
I'm willing to do this work. I'm curious about observing myself because that's always such a really revealing experience for me. So I intend to do that this week. I intend to do my journaling and to watch myself.
We'll go to Susan and then John. Susan, how are you feeling right in this moment?
I feel empowered. I know there's choices. And my big takeaway is I've just been given permission, and I've given myself permission to own my anger and to recognize that it's me and it's okay and it's energy. And I'm going to, in these conflict situations, work on embracing it this week rather than pushing it away.
Don?
I guess I'm feeling a little bit excited and enthusiastic, although I'm still a little bit apprehensive about keeping the journal, but I think it's going to be a good tool not only to track my reactions, but to help me notice exactly how often I find myself in conflict. I'm also thankful. I have a lot of gratitude that there are people willing to teach classes like this and people willing to participate and share their own experiences. As far as what I'm taking away, hope. Some hope that they say practice makes perfect, and I'm not hoping for perfection, but I can see some improvement already, and I have some hope that that's going to continue. What I'm going to do with it is I just want to take that moment to step back and stay present with what I'm feeling, to do that physical check-in and make a note of what I'm feeling and maybe notice the difference between my initial reaction and the way that I actually choose to respond.
And Jim?
I'm feeling, gratified, I guess. Really enjoyed hearing what people are taking away and the intentions people are setting for practice. I'm confident that with practice and with intention, we will all end up deepening our skills. And I'm going to continue my practice that I'm working on, which is noticing reactions that occur during conversations and my own reactions that are getting in the way of connection as my impatience seems to get the best of me and I end up speaking before the other person is finished. And so I'm going to just continue to watch that reaction and to work on building more choice about being patient.
Thank you. Just going to say that I'm just so thrilled that all of you are here and going to be playing in this field with me. And it continues to keep me more alive and more present. We're doing it together.
Aloha.